As we enter a time of community prayer, I'd like to direct your attention to the bulletin. There's several names listed there in need of prayer, including Pastor Bob. He's having gallbladder surgery on Thursday, so if you would keep him in your prayers. And we have two prayer quilts this morning, so we need to keep a special person in need from our community in prayer. Will you pray with me? Great and glorious God, from the rising of the sun to the dazzling spectacle of the night sky, let us praise and worship you. For the warmth of the sun, the shade of trees and clouds, we thank you. For our dry earth, we thank you for life-giving rain, rain that refreshes and provides our needs for crops and animals and drinking and bathing. Help us to breathe each breath with prayer on our lips and in our hearts. Help us to breathe in your love and mercy and grace. Empower and embolden us to exhale and live out that same love, mercy, and grace. Jesus, you lived and died a life of generous love, radical hospitality, and outrageous service. We are awed and humbled to try to understand God among us. Help us to live by your sacrificial example, to reach out to others and simply love, know, and serve. As we pause today for rest and worship, we ask for healing and health for many among us, for those listed in our bulletin and on our hearts. Please bring your comfort and strength. Bless those who mourn, may they be comforted. Bless those who live in fear, may they find refuge. Bless those who reach out to help, may they be lifted up. Lord, for our youth and leaders who are serving in Appalachia this week, please keep them safe and bless their service and witness in your name. For our church and its leaders, both in Whitmore Lake and Brighton, instill us with your Holy Spirit that we may be salt and light to our communities. For our country and world, may the message of your love and forgiveness be the balm that heals the hurts. In these still, quiet moments, help us to hear how you would have us work on your behalf to be love in your name, to be mercy, to be witness, to be connected. Hear now, Lord, in a moment of silent reflection, the prayers on each of our hearts. We give thanks, Lord, for Jesus, who in living among us, showed us how to love with hearts wide open and taught us how to pray together. With these words, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture lesson comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bruce.
Well, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, as we move into this scripture and this understanding of mission, let your blessing be on the word. Let your blessing be on our hearing. Inspire us, not only for thinking, but for doing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So have you ever been on a mission? Sometimes the mission, especially in the summertime, is getting the landscaping right because you've got company coming, right? And you're like, it has to be done by this time. How many people have prepared a special gift for someone out of a skill they have, whether it's sewing or knitting or crocheting or building, and you realize the deadline is very, very near, and you become on a mission, spending hours to get that thing done? I have a group of friends, and sometimes we get together for meals that are around one ethnic tradition. And I remember that I was hosting a meal, and there was a couple coming, and they were going to be cooking dishes from Spain. And so my mission, all I had to do was get the ingredients. And so it was not a good seasonal time, and they wanted a paella. They were going to make one. It's this dish that involves a lot of fresh seafood. And I have to tell you, I had to drive I felt like I was driving all over Southeast Michigan to find this, but I was on a mission to have these fresh ingredients by the time they showed up so that they could cook this meal for friends. We understand what it is to be on a mission, and sometimes those missions are things that incorporate our work and are part of getting something done with our colleagues, and sometimes those missions are extremely personal. I am remembering being on a 1980 movie. For some of you might remember Blues Brothers. It was a movie as I was coming of age with John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. They starred as Jake and Elwood Blues. The Blues Brothers were released from prison, and they realized that the orphanage that they had been raised in was going to be closed unless they raised $5,000, and they declared that they were on a mission from God. And the whole movie, from time to time, they would remind the people that they were with as they got into trouble and were chased by the police that they were on a mission from God. Through the centuries, many people have found themselves on a mission from God. Now, we can, in this time, with some discomfort, talk about that mission from God has sometimes been not so much a Christian mission as it has been a mission of cultural imperialism, as Christian missionaries brought not only the understanding of who Christ was, but Western culture to indigenous peoples in different places of the world. But we also know that when people have been lifted up and have been treated with dignity, and the person of Christ has truly been shown in places, that there are individuals called by God who truly have been on a mission from God. So all of us are, in a sense, on a mission. We often have personal missions, and if you read Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits for Highly Effective People, he spends a great deal of time talking about having a personal mission, because if we have a personal mission, then we have purpose and we can move forward. I've talked with parents who see their time in raising children as mission. I can hear parents saying, and I've certainly heard this, to say, my mission is to raise a generous, thoughtful, competent adult to the best of my ability. Of course, that sometimes it means setting boundaries that are a struggle. It also means letting go as that child grows into an individual and becomes more competent, that they don't need as much direction and support, and that can be a struggle. But for parents, they may be able to say at some point, this has been my mission, and as I look at you and as I look at how you lead your life, I realize that this mission has been accomplished. We also understand that a mission can help us to be very clear about who we are and whose we are and where we're going. And so I'm thinking about Jesus' mission statement, and I've talked about this before. He went to his synagogue in the hometown of Nazareth. This was after he had been baptized, and you find this in Luke 4. And he opened the scrolls, and he read from Isaiah, different portions of Isaiah, and he said to them his mission, that he was there to preach good news to the poor, to set the prisoner free, to bring sight to the blind, to bring freedom to the oppressed, and he did not waver from that mission. It was clearly his mission. As he went around doing his ministry in the Galilee region, he freed people from spirits that possessed them. He set people free from the burdens of illness. He loved the unlovable. He reached out to heal the people that others felt were untouchable. He set people free from oppressive religious laws, that they thought they had to follow these laws in order to know the love of God. And he said, God's love is already with you. And finally, he set us free from the oppression of death by his own death and his conquering of it, so that we might have life. Jesus was clear from the very beginning what his mission was, and he worked toward that mission even through his death and his resurrection. And so we understand what it means to be on a mission, to have purpose. And quite honestly, the church has a mission as well. This comes to us from Matthew 28. It's often called the Great Commission. Now, the commission, the word from the Latin, means to give authority for purpose to someone else. And so this is Jesus giving each Christian, each believer, authority to carry out a mission. And you may remember the scene. Jesus stood with his disciples, and he was preparing to ascend to heaven. And in his preparation, he said to them, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. And he promised that he would be with disciples always. And so when we look at that mission, we understand that if we're to do anything as a church, it is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. So when the United Methodist Church decided that they needed to be clear about their mission, they looked to the Great Commission and simply restated it. Our mission as United Methodists is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. In other words, we understand that primarily we are to assist people in working out their personal salvation so that they might know Jesus Christ and know eternal life. But as a result of that, this world will change. As United Methodists, we understand again, and I've talked about this, this balance between personal piety and social holiness, that we work to be living within the heart of God individually so that this world might change and society might better reflect the reign of God through Jesus Christ. And so that's what it means to be a member of the United Methodist Church. Now, we come down to the local church, because it's interesting that in paragraph 120 in the discipline of the United Methodist Church, where this mission is laid out, there is also an understanding, and it says that the best way that this mission is carried out is through the local church. The bishops are around for administration, but it's not a bishop in the United Methodist Church who's going to get this job done. It's not an agency of the United Methodist Church that exists to equip the local church, but it's going to be the local church that are the disciple makers. And quite honestly, it's not even the clergy person who leads the local church who is primarily responsible for making disciples of Jesus Christ. Okay, now if you're starting to feel uncomfortable, get ready, because I want to say more about that. So several years ago, we said to ourselves, well, let's revisit our mission. Now, the church here in Brighton has had an articulated mission for many years. But when we looked at it, we said, well, it just seems to be a bunch of words. It's just kind of a bunch of layers of words. And people may not be familiar with even what these words are. And so when people are asked, what's the purpose of our church? Why does our church exist in this time and this place? We may not be too clear about that. So we went about renaming our vision and claiming it by first looking at what we value. Because you're not going to be able to do the mission, to accomplish a purpose, unless you're working out of what the body values. And so we did some pretty relevant surveys and asking, and it's so interesting that although we measured these core values of this congregation maybe initially 9 years ago, in secondary surveys we've taken since then, we continue again and again to see this as the highest values of this congregation. So I share them with you. The first one is invitation. I am amazed again and again how visitors to this congregation talk about its warmth. Now, that is not going to be the absolute experience for every single person, but I would say that it is above average that people talk about, I came, I was welcomed from the very beginning, someone talked to me before the service, someone talked with me after, someone asked my name, someone told me about a ministry here, that there is a charm and a warmth that is here. In addition, this is not the case of every person in this congregation, but there are people who are inviters. They are bringing people to church all the time. They are inviting. And I remember last week, one of our inviters from the 11 o'clock service, she said to me, so now there's a guy I invited and he's coming and I can't remember his name. So how am I going to introduce him to you? And so she came early just to check out how to do that. And so I said, okay, so this is the game plan. You'll say this and then I'll say this and we'll get his name. And because she's willing to invite people that she comes across, she's willing to tell them about the ministry here. We have a spirit of invitation in this place. Another high core value of this church is spiritual growth. That we understand that spiritual growth is something that is essential to the Christian faith for individuals and for community. And so this congregation invests in spiritual growth. You have a Christian education employee for Lower L. We have a youth director. We have, through Bob Fuchs, a director of discipleship for adult ministries. So first of all, you invest in programming for that. In addition, many of you are involved in small groups, in outreach groups that involve disciplines of devotion, prayer, and service. Many of you have been involved in classes along the way and understand that core value. It is my joy on some days during the school year, sit here on these steps talking to preschool children about the church, the body of Christ, about Christ's birth, about Christ's resurrection. And so from the earliest age, we are offering an understanding of who God is in our lives, and it has been a blessing for me to sit in classes with my elders. We understand that Christian growth does not end and that we continue to grow. And finally, consistently, our highest core value is service. It is remarkable. So let me just kind of give you an idea of service in this church. I want you to think about if you have offered any kind of service with your time for this church or representing this church. Think about it. Have you done something? We have teams that clean the pews and get the mailings ready and enter data. We have our quilting ministry for our Prayers and Squares quilt. We have men with tools that work to keep our building beautiful every single week. We have mission teams. We've got 22 people that will be on mission starting tomorrow in Kentucky. They're on their way now. We go monthly to different places. If you have served in any capacity in this church or representing this church, raise your hand. I want you to look around. It's everyone, okay? And then the spirit of service, just so you have an idea, if you have served in this community or another community beyond the church, maybe you've been a volunteer coach. Maybe you've sat on a board. Maybe you're someone who works with the DDA in Brighton to bring events to Brighton. If you have served in the community in some way, raise your hand. Man, this is who we are. And service is two things. It is an act of thanksgiving. It is saying, God, I am responding to you for what has happened in my life. And it is an act of hope. Did you ever think about that? Any kind of service we provide is an act of hope. It says that by my service, something will be better in this world. I'm looking at a couple of Vena Dental Clinic volunteers. I know there are at least two of them here. They go in and they sit and they talk with people who are in pain in the worst part of their lives. Oh, wait a minute. I'm looking at a Vena Dental Clinic dentist back there too. You know, looking at for people that are in a really difficult time in their lives and can't afford the dental care that they need. To serve those people is an act of hope. To say, I know that by my service, something is going to be better in this world. Now, if those are the things that we value, how will that be reflected in our mission? And so this is our mission. You hear it every week in worship. It's to know God, to love God, and to serve God. What we did was we took all of kind of those words that are around the mission of the church, and we said, with our values and understanding that ultimately we are to make disciples of Jesus Christ, how are we going to do it? What is our purpose? Now, it's interesting that Pastor Bob is preaching this sermon down at Whitmore Lake. But rather than reviewing, as I am with you, he is teaching them for the first time who we are, because the people at Whitmore Lake agreed on July 1st to become members of this congregation. And so they are learning today and being invited to grab hold of this mission. So what does it mean to know God? Now, we understand that this is part of education and classes, and going deeper into the Bible and deeper into prayer. All of those things are part of knowing God. But we also understand that knowing God, that we learn about God from those who claim to follow God, who claim Jesus Christ as Lord. And so we understand that we are knowing God not only by our spiritual practices, worship and scripture and prayer and being in small groups, but we are learning to know God through each other. That as I have conversation with people, as people have conversation with me, they should know a little bit more about how Christ exists in this world through me. And so we begin by understanding the importance of knowing God. And it's not simply some kind of internal mission. Like once you're one of us, once you're an insider, then we're going to help you to know God. This is an external push that our purpose is to introduce God to a culture that needs God. That we truly believe that the love of Jesus Christ poured out into this community will make a difference for the greater community and for individuals. And so those kids, who are heading on their way down to Kentucky are going to be helping people to know God. When we volunteer out into the community, we're helping people to know God. When we volunteer for Vacation Bible School, and I'd really like to set that on your heart, when we volunteer for Vacation Bible School, we as a community who have claimed the value of spiritual growth understand that we are helping children to know God. What better thing can we do? So knowing God is primary in the beginning, but that's not the only thing that we do in our mission. Our mission is to help people to know God, and it is help people love God. Now, you can't make anyone love God, just like you can't make anyone love you. I remember when we were dating, George would say to me, "You make me happy." And now you're not going to think this is very romantic, but this is what I would say to him. "I don't make you happy. I may be providing the conditions under which you can choose to be happy." I can't make a person happy, right? Right? I can't make a person mad, but certainly I can provide the conditions under which you could be mad. We can't make people love God. But the goal of this church is to provide the conditions under which they can fall in love with God. And so that's open arms. That's grace in the midst of service. That's hospitality. That's good worship, where we're worshiping together and the God, Spirit of God is here. It is offering groups where people can use their skills and talents and be successful and can know the love of God around them. They can fall in love with God when they're wrapped with a quilt that's full of prayers. They can fall in love with God when they receive encouraging words on behalf of this congregation. That is our mission, to provide the conditions in which people can fall in love with God. And finally, if we know God and we are loving God, we know that our next step is to serve God in powerful ways. And we do serve. This is a picture of, and some of our runners will recognize them here. I was not part of this because running is not, I'm not going to be running. I'm going to be walking fast. But a group of people, they worked for 12 weeks, and it was a group called Run for God. And they started out walking, and at the end of the 12 weeks, they ran a 5K together right here in Brighton. And so they started out pretty simple, learning about the best shoes and the best techniques and the best nutrition, and they practiced and they practiced and they practiced. But Pastor Bob, who led this group, said to me that it was much more than learning about running, because they learned about God, and they learned about caring for one another and falling in love with God, and about being able to talk with others about why they were running. This is the kind of thing that we do that might not say, well, how is this falling in love with God? But what we're doing is we're offering opportunities for people to fall in love with God. So the last one is to serve God. And this is something that is so at the core of what we value that we can't help but do this. And I started to list the ways that we serve God, and then I realized I was going to run out of places and I was going to forget someone. It's huge. I will just say two things, and I just so that you know all of you can come and say you didn't say what I do to serve God. Two things. One of them is that for our Whitmore Lake campus, the people who have attended there for years, their heart is for Habitat for Humanity in Washtenaw County. And they were very concerned that when we came, we would change their focus. You know, that either the things that they had a heart for would end, or we would force them, you know, to go to somewhere they're unfamiliar. And we didn't. Instead, we started publishing here the dates for volunteers to serve at Habitat for Humanity. And members of this congregation filled the team so that they had a full team in June and they will have a full team in August, because we value service and changing lives. One other thing that I would talk about is I had such a great time last Thursday at Mill Pond Manor. It's an apartment complex on 2nd Street, 2nd Street in Brighton. And a couple of years ago, we made a deliberate choice to adopt this group of people. There are 50 units, and about 51 people live there. So it's a lot of individuals, and some of them pretty isolated. And so Suzanne Everett actually is one of the leaders of this group. She coordinates meals. We go in once a month and offer a meal and some kind of activity or connection. But more than anything, what I see happening around the table is our members connecting and learning stories, and that community and connecting and learning stories. On Thursday, I had the most amazing time sitting with a group of residents who some of them didn't even know each other, and by the end of the meal, we were having a theological discussion. It's amazing, the service that's there, and we are changing lives. Now, I'm going to offer one more thing. I am really talking a lot here today. I won't give it all to 9:30. You guys are getting it all. But I have to tell you something I'm extremely excited about. Well, the first thing is I turned 60 this year. Now, that's not the thing I'm excited about. Okay, so I turned 60 in the fall. And I was thinking about what I wanted to do for my 60th birthday, okay? So this is what I've decided, is I'm going to offer a challenge to the congregation. And I've worked this out with Cass Community Social Services. And I'm calling it 60 for 60. And on October 27th, which is a Saturday, I'm going to challenge a minimum of 60 members of this congregation to be in ministry with me at Cass Community Social Services in Detroit. A minimum. I'm challenging my family to come with me. I am challenging other pastor colleagues to come with me. And my hope is that I might get a little bit over 60. If you already say, oh man, I got something on October 27th, it's already in my calendar on Saturday, no worries, because the Tuesday before, I'm going down then too. So you got 2 days to choose from. But I want to celebrate my 60th birthday with you doing the thing that you value the most. And so I just invite you to put that on your calendar for now. So this is who we are. We know God, we work to love God, and we work to serve God. Now, I'll just say a little bit about the scripture, because remember, Suzanne did read some scripture, and we should mention some. And so this is from 1 Corinthians. Now, Paul had been at the Corinthian church, and he had left. And he was writing back to them, and he had heard that they had kind of lost their focus and their purpose. And what I appreciate about his opening verses in his letter, his first letter, is that he talks about what these people have as a church. So I'm not going to read it through again, but I want to just point out some of the things that Paul says. This is what you have. You have the grace of Jesus Christ. We've already talked about this. You have the immeasurable, unending love of God on your side. You have been enriched, and it is evident in your speaking and in your knowledge that God is with you. You are not lacking in any spiritual gifts as a body of Christ. You have them all. You have God who will keep you strong and will lift you up blameless by the power of Jesus Christ. And you have been called into fellowship in his name. All of these, the grace and the gifts of the Spirit and the certainty of wisdom and knowledge, are gifts for us so that we may, in unity, make disciples of Jesus Christ. What Paul says to the church is that the church becomes the testimony of Christ. We testify of our faith by what we do. Now, that doesn't mean that it's easy. Paul went on to address feuds within the church. But we have to remember again and again that each of us as individuals and collectively, as a body of Christ, we are equipped. Scott Harold is the pastor at Fowlerville Trinity United Methodist Church. And he had a friend who came to visit him. And the friend said, "I haven't been to your church. Show me your church." And he said, "Okay." And Scott Harold took the guy around and introduced him to every member who was in the church. Didn't take him to every room, didn't even tell him what the rooms were, just introduced him to everyone, and they went back to his office. And he said, "Now you've met my church." The church that Christ has called us to is a remarkable body and capable of remarkable things. And so this is the challenge for this week, that you might claim once again the mission to know God and to love God and to serve God, not simply as an individual, but within and for this body, not simply inward focused, but outward focused as well. That you might not only claim it, but that in some way, today or in the days ahead, that you might share the mission of this church with someone who is not a part of the body. That you would just simply say, "I am a member of First United Methodist Church of Brighton, and together we work to know God and love God and serve God and to bring that to the community, because we trust that it will make a difference." And finally, in that challenge, as you're sharing the mission of the church, just share one thing you're doing within that mission. I know you're doing lots, but just one thing within that mission. So if you're going to work, if you're in a coffee circle, if you're in a group and you're with family and you're talking, just say, "I'm sorry, but Pastor says I got to do this. Here's the mission of the church. This is what I do. Let's go on." But do it. Talk with someone about it. All right, let's pray. Lord, we ask your transforming spirit always in this church. We are a holy people. We are equipped by you through the grace of Jesus Christ. And we ask now that you might pour your presence on us and that we might be faithful to carry out your great commission to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.